College of Judaism.
And welcome.
Welcome to Advanced Meditation Lecture Number 5. Today we're going to discuss the Shema Yisrael, the Hear, O Israel prayer, which you have in front of you in Hebrew. We're going to learn about one of the strongest connections that we have and can achieve through meditation. And this is a meditation that was used by Jews throughout the generations. It's called Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel. Whenever a Jew would think about praying, the first prayer that would come to his mind would be Shema Yisrael. And now we ask a question that most of us never think about, and that is, look at the first verse of the Shema. Not the first line. I should have really given it to you in English as well. But the first verse says, the first line says, how does it start? Which means, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Did you hear that, Tim? Might.
Yes.
Not mind. Might.
Mind.
Nah.
Very similar.
Nope, not similar at all. What does this mean? How can you command anyone to love God? How can you command someone to love a being whom he has never met or saw? And also, what do we mean by the term love? What does that mean? What do we actually mean when we use the term love? Another point that should be noted is that when Rabbi Isaac Luria included the Shema as one of the meditations, he understood that it was comprised of a tremendous force, that there's a tremendous power for healing in this prayer. There's a tremendous force that will allow us to remove negativity from our lives. And this concentrates specifically on the power of healing. Why? Good question. Because how can this be? We should sit and meditate, and this meditation will give us the power to remove, chas v'shalom, our cancer. How can this be? You mean to tell me that a person should sit and meditate and his cancer will disappear? Is this actually what we're saying here? And we have also been taught that the two letters right at the beginning of the Shema are an Ayin and a Dalet. The last letter of the first word on the first line is an Ayin, and the last letter of the first line is a Dalet. Actually, these two letters spell out the word Aid, which means witness. So to what are we witnessing? To what is this prayer testifying? And let's remember that Shema Yisrael, the Hear, O Israel prayer, is a prayer that is recited by Jewish people twice a day. But it is also recited by some people right before they die, if they remember. Some do it before they go to sleep. We know that Rabbi Akiva, right before his soul left his body, recited the Shema. And with the word Echad, which, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, the last word is Echad, his soul departed from this world. What is the importance of this? And Rabbi Isaac Luria explains that whenever we are dealing with our body, we also have to remember that there are two separate entities of which every human being is comprised. And these two entities control us at the same time. One entity is the soul, and the other entity is the body. At any given moment, one or the other wants to control. And at times it is the soul, and at times it is the body. And this all depends upon how high your consciousness is at that particular moment. So when a person is more into his desire to receive for himself alone, what dominates?
The body.
And the body will determine how you will behave. And you'll be aggravated easily, and you'll sleep a great deal. And all those things that the body demands. However, when the soul is in control, you'll realize that you're more in tune with the aspect of sharing. You'll be eliminating physical and material matter from your lives. And so the Ari states, the reason why this prayer, the Shema Yisrael prayer, is important is because this prayer is like a rocket with which a person takes himself into space. we can create the possibility through this vessel to elevate ourselves from physicality into the spiritual cosmic world. Another aspect of the Shema is that one is supposed to recite the Shema, as I said a moment ago, right before he goes to sleep. But what happens right before we go to sleep? The soul begins to depart the body. Those who took Kabbalah 101 remember what happens when we go to sleep. Whenever we're in the midst of a negativity that we would like to eliminate and we would like to place ourselves in a cosmic spiritual consciousness, a consciousness of sharing, then we must have a tool, a vessel with which to do the job. And of course, we all want to do this. We all want to be positive. We all want to feel the beauty and wonder and exhilaration of being a sharing person. So then why does this seem so impossible? Because our correction process still remains in the 1% level. Because our process remains in the Malchut level. We need to create a vessel that will allow ourselves to elevate ourselves. And the one thing that we notice also that when we recite the Shema before going to sleep is that we do not employ the entire prayer. We only use the first verse and the first section of the Shema Yisrael, which contains 248 words, if you want to count them. We only use the first paragraph in the meditation, and it's not like when we pray regularly. And the reason for this is because in the meditation, we are actually connecting to a most condensed version. We got to remember that when we deal with prayer, it has to be a prayer that suits all the people. It has to be a prayer that each and every vessel is prepared to handle. But when we discuss a meditation, we're speaking about a very intense form and a specific manner in which to bring energy and activate it within our lives. So normally the Shema Yisrael has 248 words that correspond to 248 bones in our bodies, which are channels that bring energy to every part of our body. So you're going to tell me that science says there's only 245 bones in the body and not 248. I can tell you they say it's even more. Depends how you count. Zohar says absolutely correct. There's 245 bones and three extra bones that have not been discovered by science. And they know it exists, and some scientists believe that this is why there are some incurable diseases, because of those parts which are missing. And the Zohar tells us that there are 248 parts, and this is what is contained in the first paragraph of the Shema. Why 248 words? Because as Hans Müller discovered in his research of deaf people, one of the things that he discovered was that there are three different forces, or different sounds and combinations of sounds that resonate matter. And these sounds create a change in the physical structure of matter. That's what he says anyway. I don't say it. He said it. He took two metal triangles and he discovered that when he hit one of the triangles, automatically the other triangle, without being touched, produced a sound as well. The second sound was on a very low wave level, but a sound nevertheless. And then he took a metal pendulum that was touching a very fine pound of powder. And when he created different sounds, the pendulum moved and created a shape in the powder. And this was proven scientifically over and over again. And he discovered that certain sounds created different vibrations of matter. It had a different impact on matter. And he also discovered that the sound of a voice with an affinity to a certain piece of glass can break the glass. I know a singer who was able to hit a high C and broke the glass. And it didn't have to be a high C. It had to be the same resonance where that glass would be, would react to or resonate from. And that's the reason, by the way, why on Passover we take three matzot, three pieces of matzah. I'm trying to give it in English. I don't know what matzah is in English. Unleavened bread. And we say this matzah is no longer called matzah, but rather it is called Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, priest, the Levites, and the Israelites. Why? To create an impact on matter that exists within the atoms. 99% of the atoms contain spirituality. 1% is physicality. Who determines the 99%? We do. How do we do it? With the power of the Hebrew letters. By the power of the sound and with the resonance that we create on matter. And that's why each and every organ of our body has a word, has a combination of sounds that resonates and awakens the positive energy that exists within that organ. You know, when we talk about, I mentioned this in Kabbalah 101, but how do you say an ear in Hebrew?
What is it?
Ozen. You were right. Ozen is an ear. Oznaim is ears. Ozen. How do you say balance in Hebrew? Izun. Where is your balance? Inner ear. And I can go through every part of your body. The hand is yad. Adds up numerically to 14. 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, 14. Interesting, huh? I can go through everything like that. We don't have time. But I just wanted to show you that when you say it, you're saying you are resonating what it is. So when we say Kohen, Levi, Yisrael for a matzah, spiritually that first piece of matzah is Kohen, represents the priestly. It is Kohen. You know, you guys do it in the Catholic Church with the wine and the body, you know. Right? How does that become the body? Because you said so. Well, that's why that becomes Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. Okay. Now, 2 weeks ago, we discussed hate and problems in communication and problems with getting along with others. And the one thing we know is that you people in this room most probably are not going to leave this room and murder anyone. Well, I don't know about him.
I'm the sweetest person here.
Anyone from Montana we worry about, you know. You know. So we're not discussing major lacks that we all have. We're not discussing major short circuits. We're not dealing here with people who possess major desires to receive for oneself alone. So what actually we are dealing here with is we're dealing with the little problems that each and every one of us has in life. We're dealing with small problems in communication, nothing major. And this reminds me of a person who came to see me recently. Can't mention his name because I got people listening to this who want to sue me if I mention their names. So
they would love to.
Yeah, he was well connected. That means well connected, you know, on a spiritual level. You understand? I can see what my bubby over there. And how a very big business, and he had a very big business. And he came to me and he said, you know, I approached another person, a friend, that I wanted to offer him a job, and it's because instead of going to some stranger, I wanted to help someone I knew. I gave the person the job and he gave me a very high bid, and it was as if he were trying to abuse me. How can that be? That person studies Kabbalah too. He's been coming to classes for many years. How is it that I want to do him a favor and he responds by trying to cheat me? How could he possibly act in this manner? So I said to him, well, that's nothing. He said, well, how can you say that's nothing? I told him, he says, do you know that this person has many cases in different states of the United States dealing with rape? And you know what? Since he began studying Kabbalah, he doesn't do that anymore. So the person stopped and said, really? And I said, no, not really. But what he really did was just as bad. I didn't want to tell him what the other person actually did, but it was as bad. And you know what? The ability of this man to connect to energy and the ability of this person to draw positive energy into his life tells us that we are all not perfect. It means that he's now on a different path. He's created for himself a direction, a route, a ritual path on which he can and at least grow. He's now on a road on which he can create a change. So when you look at another person and you judge whether he's good or bad, well, what do you base your judgment on? Do you know who that person really is? Or you might go to someone and tell him, you know, you've got a big ego. So he tells you, if you knew how big... You should have been here 2 weeks ago. Used to be bigger. It's now smaller. This means that I'm improving, you understand. It's not so bad today compared to what it was. so I'm improving. The yarmulke now fits. At one time it was too big. What happens whenever we deal with spiritual growth, we discuss a gradual process. We're discussing a creative process. Can't be that a person decides to connect to spirituality and the next day he's all of a sudden spiritual. Doesn't work that way. Most people who study Kabbalah study it for years and years and they don't become righteous people. They continue to study. And they're always looking over them, am I righteous enough yet? You know, and they'll come to me, they say, am I spiritual yet? I had a guy who used to do this to me all the time. Am I really spiritual yet? He said, you keep asking, it's never going to happen. You know, all of us have lacks in our lives into which we would like to bring a great deal of positive energy. And so therefore, that purpose of that prayer in front of you of the Shema Yisrael, and that's the beauty of this prayer, and that's why the Ari included the Shema Yisrael in some of his meditations, is that Shema Yisrael activates energy based upon those parts in our body that express a spiritual lack. And he said that any lack that we might experience in life is representative of a spiritual lack in our soul. The body is the container for the soul, and therefore each and every organ of the body expresses a different aspect of our soul. And therefore when a person has a disease, it is only an indication that there's something wrong with him spiritually. And since the person was unable or unwilling to fill this lack spiritually, it's now being manifest in the body. That's why we're told in the portion of the Torah called Shmini in Leviticus, there's a portion where the Torah discusses different kinds of illnesses. And the Zohar tells us at this point that when a person has a spiritual problem, he will first experience it in the spiritual realm. And then when there's no improvement in the spiritual realm, then this lack, which is now manifested as a disease, will appear on a person's body as an illness. That's a Kabbalistic thinking, that before you get any kind of physical illness, you are given the warning spiritually. You get opportunities to proact. You have opportunities to do restriction, and hopefully that will avert that manifesting itself into a physical disease. But those places where the disease is manifested are hidden places. In other words, the person will suffer from stomach illnesses or headaches or neck aches. And all these areas where the illness is not perceived from the outside. And then the third stage of the disease will finally be manifest on an external part of the body. And everyone will be able to observe it and see, and then they'll be able to offer help so that he might change or she might change his or her behavior. And so we see there are three stages in our soul, and it's revealed and it's reflected, and it reflects its lack in the physical realm. One where there is a spiritual pain, when there is a feeling of lack, and then it will appear as a physical pain, and then it will manifest itself physically and externally. The purpose of the Shema is to activate energy to all those areas of the body which reflect our soul, and not only to resonate the physical parts of our body, but to also resonate and to create that possibility for the lack found in the soul to be filled with light. That's the purpose of the Shema Yisrael, of that prayer. And that's the manner in which we can use the Shema Yisrael to elevate ourselves spiritually and depart from the physical realm. And the moment you activate it and draw the proper energy to activate the spiritual part which is lacking in the energy, then physicality will never be a problem. And that's why two people can undergo the same exact surgery and under the same, very same conditions, and one will go smoothly and the other will develop complications. Why the difference? Because in terms of resonance, in terms of awakening that spiritual part, one is prepared to do so and the other person is not prepared to do so. And that's what it's all about. So you say, what if they both don't know about it? Well, some people just innately activate that spiritual aspect, and some just innately never do. One can handle the energy of healing and one cannot. And that's why the illness continues with some and with others it goes away, Kabbalistically speaking. Even though both people receive the same treatment under the same conditions with different results. Now another thing to remember, and that's the main problem we have, is not to discover what our problem really is. This means that most of our life we would expend our energy in the wrong direction. Because most of the time we don't want to do There are many times in life when we have to make a choice and we hesitate and we don't do the correct thing. We don't know how to utilize the knowledge that we have. And so therefore, you should know that whenever we happen to find ourselves in this situation, we have to ask ourselves whether we are taking care of the 1% level. Are we making all the right actions that have to be done in order to create the correct vessel for the light to flow in? And what does this all mean? It means make use of the knowledge that you already have. So I have to ask whether I'm making the right connection regarding sharing. Are my actions going to be those that will attempt to create a circuit of energy? Is there spiritual growth in what I'm doing or not? When you can answer all these questions in the affirmative, you'll know then what to do. We've got to create a physical vessel. That's the whole point of all these things. We've got to create a physical vessel for the light to reveal itself. And therefore, a gray area occurs in our lives when we're not taking care of the 1%. And as long as we're not allowing the light to be involved, we're going to remain with these gray areas. However, if we take care of the 1% and we take care of the knowledge that we have at our disposal, then all we have to do is create the right vessel for the light to be revealed. And therefore, most of the time, we spend our time in the wrong places. If we spent it in the right places, we'd be doing what? Acts of?
Giving.
Yes. And therefore, the purpose of the... See how smart you are. You're going to spray your arm. Therefore, the purpose of the Shema Yisrael is to be preventative, to rid ourselves of our negativity before it even manifests itself on the physical level. The Shema Yisrael, therefore, is to direct the light to those areas in my soul where there is a lack of which I'm not even aware. And then I will take that lack today so that I'll be able to live out a good life. I'll take that lack and get rid of it. So I want you to look at the page in front of you of Shema Yisrael. And I think you see there are 5 sentences. Is that correct?
Well, there's a little sentence.
Well, the little one we're not counting right now.
Okay,
so there's 5. Don't be so technical with me. And each one starts with the letter Vav. Vav, just a line, right? You can see a line. Don't make faces like that. That's what a Vav is. That's like a line.
There's only one letter that's the first one of each line.
Look!
Okay.
And the Vav represents the number 6. Vav is number 6. It is, okay? And each one of these sentences ends with the letter Chaf. Is that correct? Chaf Sofit. Which you'll learn in the second hour from the alphabet, that letter Chaf Sofit. Do you see it? Chaf numerologically is 20. What is 20 and 6?
26.
Thank you. It's one of the basic structures of the Tetragrammaton. Remember? Yud K Vav K. That's the way you spell God's name. Now we also see here 5 sentences that manifest the energy, and we draw in during the recitation of the Shema Yisrael that energy. These 5 sentences manifest the energy of Keter, Chochma, Bina, Ze'ir Anpin, and Malchut. The 5 sfirot, these are the 5 channels in which we can activate the energy into our bodies. Now look at the upper part where the Shema Yisrael, it displays again 5 emanations. Ze'ir Anpin, Chochma, Bina, Ze'ir Anpin, Malchut. On the left side you see each and every name is creating the energy to draw those sfirot into our body. If you had the chart in front of you, you would be understand that. So when we say Shema Yisrael, even though this meditation might not be clear to us, so if you meditate just on these letters going from left to right, so what do we mean when we say the word Shema Yisrael? What you mean is you're drawing in the level of the outer space connection, Ze'ir Anpin. What does this mean? And truthfully, I don't have to know what it means.
Mathematically, this is something that cannot be proved. The only way to prove it is by creating the correct meditation and by having the right intention in our minds. So if you meditate on these letters or on these words going from right to left, the big lines, right, then you don't have to know what it says, you don't have to know what it means, just meditate on them with the right intention in your minds, and there's absolutely no other way in which you can activate that correctly anyway. There are Jews who say this twice a day, and many of these people are sick, have a great deal of problems. How can that be? Answers the Zohar. When you don't know the meditation, it's not going to help you. You're just saying words. You don't have to say the words. What you've got to do is meditate on those letters. If you don't know the 90%, 90, even as a code name, it will never be able to activate the force necessary to do its job. It's like dialing a telephone. But dialing, you know, what if I wanted to call you, Bubby? I call you and I dialed 682-1688. Am I going to get you? Nope, wrong number. Same thing here. If you want to get into the connection of the energy, you got to dial the right number. You can do the action. You can dial the number, but if you do it without implementing the spiritual energy, you're not going to be able to accomplish what the prayer is supposed to do. And one thing that we know is that by thinking of the name, by thinking of the emanation, we're actually activating and creating and opening a channel consciously to the subconscious. This means that whenever we say Ze'ir Anpin, the soul understands that. And so when we say the code word Ze'ir Anpin, we are resonating the cosmic energy that we can activate towards our lack. And now notice the last word here is Echad. Look at the first line, you're going from left to right, the last three letters is Echad, which means unity. And when we do, we stop here at Echa, which has to do with nine emanations. Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Notz, Nechod, Yesod, Tabalchut. Which manifestation? Echa is Aleph and Chet. The first letter and second letter of those last of that last word is an Aleph and a Chet. 1 and 8. It equals 9. We want to manifest the energy of Shema Yisrael in order to create a vessel for all the light to be revealed. Now notice that the emanation of Keter does not appear. We don't have 10, we've got 9. Why? Because we're never going to be able to reveal the top one, the Keter. It's too much. The energy of Keter is too hard. We're speaking here of raw, naked energy. We're not speaking of any kind of a vessel that we will ever be able to tap into. Then the next verse underneath there is in small print, as Tim noticed. It says, Baruch Shem Kavod Machuto Liolam Voed, blessed be the name of the glory of God forever and ever. That's what it means. But you don't say that out loud. You say that silently. Just like in the Anabekoach, the last line is the same line. Why? Because even though there are frames of emanation that appear in the Shema Yisrael itself, nevertheless, the whole prayer is on the level of Ze'ir Anpin. But when we want to manifest it, we got to do it through concealment. And this means there can never be revelation in Malchut. You can never have revelation in physicality. Think about the rays of the sun hitting the earth. Is there any light in the wall itself? When the sun hits the wall, is there any light in the wall? No. Only when it is reflected back does the light shine on the wall, or on us for that matter. The moment the sun hits Malchut, physicality, it's reflected, and that's why it's seen and felt. In the Malchut level itself, there is concealment. There's no light. The moment we're in Malchut, the moment we're in this area of physicality, we got to create concealment. And so when we make the blessing on the bread on the Sabbath morning, if you come to the synagogue and you see us having a kiddush, we have a meal after the prayer. The prayer is the spiritual aspect of what we're doing. But in order for that prayer to have any meaning, you must manifest it physically. So we come in here and we eat a meal. That's physical. We make a blessing. But we cover the bread. Why? Because we know in order to draw energy to the bread, it has to be concealed. This means that this verse of Baruch Shem, that second small little verse, is actually creating a transfer to activate the flow of energy into the physical level. How many letters are in the Shema Yisrael? Count. Count. You can count. Just in that first line. Twenty-five. How many in the second small line?
22.
Count again.
24.
24 and 25 equals?
49.
49. That's the numerical value of freedom. What is freedom? Freedom is control. Think of Joseph in the dungeon. He was free even there. Freedom is a state of mind. Most people look for freedom physically. Nelson Mandela was free for 28 years in prison. Freedom is within. We want to be free from the desire to receive from oneself alone. Freedom has nothing to do with physicality. It is to be able to be free from the desire to receive from oneself alone.